I have the pleasure of introducing Christine Wojcik. Come up with me. This is Christine Comerford, folks. Christine is an amazing person that you're going to come to get to know, not only in the next couple of hours, but this evening as well, because she's going to join us for dinner.
Yes, indeed.
She is the founder of the Smart Tribe Institute, one of the many companies that she has run in her past.
Extremely long career.
Extremely long career, which you can read in the program book that you have. But I did want to leave you with three little tidbits that are not in the program book, because I think it sort of provides the whole person.
Program books. Distribution of books would be, come on down with the books.
Fast fact number one, okay? Christine has been asked to participate in two U.S. presidencies, the Clinton administration and the Bush administration.
And we can't say what we're doing for Obama still because he's in office. So.
Correct. Number two, Christine and her team have worked with over 700 of the Fortune 1000 companies. Okay, and fun fact number three, Christine is a regular contributor to Forbes Leadership. So we take a step back and we say, why is all this about this amazing person, okay? And today, when you leave, you're gonna get Smart Tribes, and I have one here.
Woo!
Okay, and Christine is the author of Smart Tribes as well as Rules for Renegades, and she'll be here to sign this when she leaves today. And I ask you to read this, it is life-changing, okay? And when you break down, it was so great, I thought Michael Clinton set us up beautifully, didn't he?
Yes.
I mean, you couldn't make it up. Talking about the neuroscience of what paper does, right? But also talking about sight, sound, and motion, which is exactly our topic today. And he did not know that, which
That's
I thought was just amazing.
Extremely awesome.
So when we think about, sometimes you hear neuroscience, and you go, you know, Christine is an expert in people, and understanding how the brain drives human behavior, and understanding how the brain can all make us better leaders, and I don't care who you represent in this room, we all could, you know, sort of get a little boost in our leadership, because that helps us build the best smart tribe in our company. And if we do that, we look at growing, increasing revenue, and increased profit. Okay, so in a nutshell, how's that?
That was awesome. Okay. Yes, thank you.
So without further ado, I welcome Christine Comerford.
Thank you. Okay, good afternoon. Good afternoon. How many of you were in my session at the last Camp Quad? Woo! Yay! Okay, good. Good, awesome. A little bit of feedback there. Thanks for catching that. Good. So what we're going to talk about today is how to understand just enough about the brain. Just enough. We're not going to totally geek out. And if I start getting in deep geek territory, just wave your hand and I'll come back out. Enough about the brain so that we can deeply, emotionally engage people, because the experience of a brand is primal. The experience of a brand is primal. It is subterranean. And when we understand how to give somebody the deep experience of whatever they're coming to our brand for, safety, belonging, mattering, beliefs, identity, which is beliefs about ourself, is identity. When we deliver that message with the right visual, pictures, auditory cues, sound, and kinesthetic feeling and emotion. Ooh, help me, Rhonda. Yeah, and there's some auditories for you. Yeah, you see, you got a combo. Yeah, he was like, okay, kinesthetic, auditory, thank you. Visual, you saw me going, yeah. Wow, woo, okay, we're live today, okay. To try to keep the chi down on the ground, okay. So let's go ahead and start, and I'm gonna teach you guys just one quick thing, which is the heartbeat clap, because we're gonna do a ton of labs. This is a super duper experiential day today. So when we do labs to bring you guys back, you're going to hear this. You'll hear me going kind of like a heartbeat. When you hear that, start doing it and we'll get a swarm. And then the people who are still talking will go, oh, now it's time for me to be quiet. Okay? That's how we come back from labs. Awesome. Let me see if there's anything else housekeeping that you need to know. Everybody should have three things. A big, huge, thick workbooky thing. a brand profile summary. This is what you're going to fill in today, and you're going to walk away going, woo, this is my brand and the emotional content of my brand. Then you can just give it to your people, and you'll see your sales and marketing go right on, sister. And you're going to see some stats. I'll show you what our clients are doing and the beautiful stats that they get by doing stuff like this. The third thing is an eval. In your copious spare time, way after cocktails, it'll probably be better if you do it that way, fill out the eval with the awesome experience you had today. And then they'll collect it tomorrow, and they'll make sure that we get them later. Cool. Okay, everybody have handouts? Yep. Everybody's good? Okay, great. Let's go. So Joel talked about how it's all about customer service. How do we give that customer a deep, deep experience? That's today. And then I have follow the consumer from Michael. And today we're going to understand actually why consumers and humans do what they do. How many of you guys are ever kind of wondering why somebody actually does that stuff that they do? Yeah. How many of you guys know somebody who has a really bad habit or like a self-destructive habit and they keep doing it? Yeah. Okay. So that's what we're talking about. I will ask you to raise your hands so that I know. Because in some cultures or some states, which are called subcultures in the U.S., people just go, you know, like in New Jersey, they'll just go. And I can't see him from the back. In California, they'd be like, acknowledge me. Okay, so I will ask you to raise your hand so I know what's going on. Meaningful messages. Michael also said meaningful messages. We're going to talk about that as well today. So let's go. I am not a scientist. I hang out with the neuroscientists. I then translate the stuff that's relevant, because a big chunk of it isn't in business. And I apply that to business. For 37 years, I've been helping leaders build awesome businesses, making Windows a world standard, crushing Netscape, Navigator, what was that browser? Right, you forgot about it already. Helping Google get total world domination, Salesforce.com, and then just a gazillion other brands that you've heard of. I was an engineer a long time ago. I used to be an engineer. I was a software engineer at Microsoft and Apple. And after programming a bunch of computers, I thought, what's the coolest computer to ever program? The brain. How cool would that be if we understood how the brain worked, and if we could help make that work in a better, more efficient way, if we can make people three times more productive, et cetera, without burnout, would that be cool? If we could talk to people more deeply, would that be cool? So what we do is we help companies, we help brands, really in the areas of leadership, culture, sales, marketing. Leadership, culture, sales, marketing, how to get more emotional engagement. So today you're going to learn how to close sales 50% faster, harvest 44% or more of your pipeline that usually doesn't get harvested. We're going to talk about getting people more productive. We're going to talk about increasing your demand gen, the effectiveness of your marketing pieces, 300% or more. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do that. All right. Thanks to NYU, Columbia, Carnegie Mellon, UCLA, MIT, Stanford, Harvard, we now know that 90% of our behaviors are driven and dominated by the emotional brain. 90%. Whoa. The pathways going from the emotional brain to the intellect are like a six-lane superhighway going in one direction. Whoosh. Tons of information coming. Emotional brain to prefrontal cortex to intellect. And yet, the pathways going from the intellect back to the emotional brain are like a poorly maintained little teeny single track path through the forest. So what does this mean? This means that we are deeply emotional creatures, driven by subterranean programming that drives and dominates our behaviors. And even though we are powerhouse, fabulous intellects, and we have honed our intellects at the finest universities on the planet, our intellects are responsible for about 10% of our behaviors. 90% is subterranean emotional programming. So let's talk about how to use our 10% to connect with the 90%. Okay, that's what we're doing today. Metacognition, thinking about thinking. We're going to use our emotional brain to connect with that. Let's talk about Moravian's research. Controversial, true. But the meaning of the communication is the message that's received. Only 7% of what we communicate is words. Example. That's fine. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. All right? The meaning of the communication is the message received. Words are not very important if we don't get the emotions right. And human beings are meaning-making machines. We are constantly making meaning. We see somebody who looks a little scowly and we say, you know, she's never liked me. But what you don't know is she has chronic indigestion and her face always looks like that. We make meaning, okay? You all have had somebody say to you, what are you thinking? Okay? And you're like, I wasn't actually. Or I was thinking, wow, I really want a latte. And like they think that you're all mad at you. Okay? So here's the thing. Tone of voice, body language, this conveys to us much more meaning than words ever will. So we want to make sure that we get the V's, A's, K's, O's, and G's right. That's coming up in a second. For starters, let's think about safety, belonging, and mattering. Circuit City, yes, a name of the past. But first, sharper image. Since we know that human beings, if we dust off our Maslow, and more on this afternoon, since we know that human beings crave safety, belonging, and mattering, after we have food, water, shelter, warmth, and Wi-Fi, we must have the experience of safety, freedom from fear, belonging, being part of a tribe, being connected, and mattering, being important, being seen for who we are, our unique gifts. So, what broke with these brands? Sharper image. Sharper image. What happened with sharper image? The demise of sharper image was swift. Took about 2 years from the lawsuit in 2007 to 2009 when they declared bankruptcy. What is it that happened? The Ionic Breeze, one product. How could one product take down sharper image? Well, there probably was a problem beforehand. There was a safety problem. Ionic Breeze, a room air cleaner, emitted unsafe levels. Oh, I thought you were cleaning the air. Of ozone, unsafe levels. Okay, so you buy the air cleaner and you get, you know, a problem in your air. So 2007, 2002, Consumer Reports said, whoa, watch out. Of course, then a libel suit followed, which was dismissed very swiftly because it was a problematic product. 2007, a consumer sued. 2009, declared bankruptcy. The emotional content of that whole experience, the way they handled it, no safety. We don't care if you're safe or not. Just buy our products, buy our Ionic Breeze thing. We don't care if you're gonna choke on ozone, too much ozone. So, breach in safety, Circuit City. Also, fascinating, 2 years to their demise. What happened here? Circuit City decided, they had other problems, but their big one was, let's get rid of the most important workers in our stores. The people with the deepest knowledge base cost the most. So let's replace them with salespeople who cost less. Yeah, okay, they'll learn our products over time. Well, what happened? Sales plummeted because you walk in and the kid's like, I don't know what you should buy. I have no opinion. I don't even know our products. You're like, okay, I'm leaving, right? So in 2 years from the time that they let their key salespeople on the floor go, in 2 years, all their stores had been shuttered. In 2 years. This is how fast it happens. So that was a breach of belonging and mattering. Our key salespeople don't matter, and you, consumer, you don't matter because we're going to give you people who have no expertise, okay? That's a big mattering problem. And then second, it was a belonging problem. We let them out of the tribe, and we don't care if you're in our tribe either. Third quick example, the DeLorean. Who remembers the DeLorean? Can you have better product placement? Back to the Future. Oh, great product placement. Oh, that was beautiful. But they needed to sell 12,000 cars to break even. They only sold 6. They rolled out these very sexy cars, but they didn't work so well. So people had a safety problem. And then John DeLorean said, what I'll do is I'll buy $24 million worth of cocaine, and I'm serious, and I will then, you know, save my company by setting up a drug ring. It's like, on what planet? So even though people liked to belong to the hipster club of people who drove DeLoreans, there's a limit to belonging. Do I want to belong with a drug dealer? Actually, no. I'm going to opt out of that tribe. Okay? So they had a belonging, huge belonging mattering challenge. All right. Let's talk about your brain, and then we're going to keep going in deeper and deeper and layering how all this stuff works. Your awesome brain. You actually have three. You actually have three awesome brains, or three types of your brain, however you want to look at it. The first, the innermost, the reptilian brain. The reptilian brain is responsible for temperature regulation, breathing, and balance. The reptilian brain is a stimulus response machine coded for safety. All it cares about is dead or not dead. It's binary. No understanding of quality of life. Dead, not dead. Notice how I didn't say alive or dead. Dead, not dead. Very primal, okay? Very basic. When you see a rattlesnake, you move and it thinks you're food, okay? It's really basic, okay? Reptilian brain. Layered on top of the reptilian brain, mammalian brain. Mammalian brain, emotional center. Mammalian brain is where we have the limbic system. The limbic system is our fight, flight, freeze response. Now, check out how cool this is. The mammalian brain also, that's where the hippocampus is, that's where the amygdala is. But check this out. How do we move things from short-term storage to long-term storage? Short-term storage, short-term memory, is in the mammalian brain. The way that we take something from the hippocampus, short-term memory, and move it into the frontal lobes, long-term memory, is with emotion. It's with emotion. If you want somebody to remember something, don't just tell them something or say, here's a list of our company values, please feel engaged, okay? You roll it out with emotion. And it moves from short-term storage to long-term storage before the buffer is flushed. Because we all have lots of stuff coming in, buffer gets flushed. Mammalian brain, if it could speak, it would say friend or foe. A little more sophisticated than dead or not, but still running safety patterns, trying to just stay alive, okay? Friend or foe is what the mammalian brain says. Layered on top, neocortex, most evolved in human beings. Many animals don't even have them. Dolphins, of course, do. They're pretty smart little guys. Neocortex, prefrontal cortex, where we're very interested in sales, marketing, leadership, culture, is where we have problem solving, decision making, discrimination, differentiation. What we also have in the prefrontal cortex, one of my favorite parts of it, is the ability to say, I'm here, but I want to be there. And then we start to map out, how do I get there? I'm here and I want that ideal that one of your brands represents. How am I going to get there? If the neocortex, if the prefrontal cortex could speak, it would say, what can I create? Little more interesting. We're out now of safety programs, of dead or not, of friend or foe, and what can I create, right? Good. Now, here's what happens, though. When people are faced with buying decisions, when people are in stress, when people have constantly changing directives, when people have unclear communication, when people experience feeling threatened, we go into what's called the critter state. We call it the critter state because it's just like an animal. Safe or not, dead or not, friend or foe. Notice the prefrontal cortex is offline. It's pure reptilian, mammalian brain, really basic. No quality of life, running safety programs, just trying to stay alive, and we're ready to fight, flight, or freeze. Now, two things I want to point out here. The ventral striatum. I'll be talking about the ventral striatum a little bit later, but the ventral striatum is the part of the brain that helps us start to enjoy the rewards before they show up. Good campaigns, good advertising, good marketing takes people into what we call in neuro a desired state. You're in your present state where things are mezza-mezza. You know, maybe you want something better. So you're in your present state. When we take people, and I'll show you a campaign in a moment, into that desired state, the ventral striatum lights up. And when we have effective goals and effective leadership and effective cultures, we actually have a couple of neurotransmitters that are firing off. We have dopamine, which is, wow, is it going to be great when we achieve that goal? I'm feeling so good already as I work to achieve that goal. Okay, that keeps people going through the hard stuff. We also have oxytocin. Wow, it's so great to be moving towards this goal, and look at all the cool people going there with me. Okay, but when we're in critter state, and we're shut down, and the ventral striatum is like, wow, there's totally no reward happening here. I'm just going to hunker down and try to stay not dead. What happens here is your system is flooded with norepinephrine. Norepinephrine, adrenaline, AKA adrenaline. We have no neurotransmitter to break that down. Or no enzyme, pardon me. No enzyme to break that down. The only way to get rid of that critter state is cardio. It can take up to 2 hours for that to get flushed out of your system. So whenever somebody is totally in their critter state, they're in fight, flight, freeze, take them out for a walking meeting. Do you guys do walking meetings? They're super popular in California. Okay, well, if you're like, if it's the frozen tundra, you can't necessarily do a walking meeting. Okay, but you could walk them around the halls. You need to get them walking. Hey, let's go have a walking meeting. Start out at a fast clip. Okay, they'll start to come down off the ledge. So we want to, but we can't here. We want to light up the ventral striatum to be anticipating all that great stuff that's going to happen. But in critter state, we're just trying to stay alive. And we also want to light up the, we want the insula lit up for intuition. The insula is where we have intuition. The insula is where we can kind of feel, this isn't quite right, but I'm going to figure out what will make it that way. So critter state. What we want in all of our campaigns is what we call the smart state. All three parts of the brain, or all three brains, working together. In critter state, if we get a flame email, we'll go, battle. You know, you've all had that experience. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, like you're just like hot and upset and scared. In the critter state, you get a flame email and you say, wow, poor Joe Blow is having a hard day, you know, and it doesn't send you off. It doesn't trigger the critter state. So the techniques today are going to help you get in and stay in the smart state. I'm going to do a quick model on your hand. Grab your dominant hand, your wrist. This is your brain stem, reptilian brain, okay, brain stem. Your palm, mammalian brain. Fold your thumb in, limbic system, fight, flight, freeze. Fold your fingers over, neocortex, prefrontal cortex right behind your forehead. When you lose it and you flip your lid, you are in what's called critter state. You are pure reptilian mammalian, and all the good stuff is offline. Critter state, smart state, okay? This is when we're all working together. This is when, we lose it, okay? Good, so I might say critter, and then I might say smart, so just in case you understand the language. Good, let's go. Effective branding. Let's talk about effective branding. Southwest Airlines. If you just have fun for a second and just kind of guess, for Southwest Airlines, of the three primal needs that I just barely introduced, safety, belonging, and mattering, what do you experience from Southwest Airlines? What do you experience from Southwest Airlines? Have you guys, who's flown Southwest Airlines? Okay, enough of you guys. Good, good. So what's your experience? What emotional experience do you get from Southwest Airlines? Safety, belonging, mattering. What do you think?
Belonging.
Yeah, like they do these comedy routines. You want to be part of the tribe because it's so fun. Yeah, they're having fun. So when Southwest went through some safety problems, their tribe totally forgave them. They reached out and they said, wow, guys, we've let you down. We messed up. Please forgive us. Here's how we're fixing it. And their tribe said, great, okay. Consumers didn't trash them at all. In the other airline, it would be like a social media rant fest. Instead, it was we're there with you. Yeah, let's go. We're in this together. Do you guys know Mustafa from Old Spice? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mustafa from Old Spice. Mm-hmm. Safety, belonging, or mattering. Who buys Old Spice? Is it men or women who buy Old Spice? Men. Both, men and women. Yeah, And a big part of their campaign was maybe the man in your life can't look like Mustafa, but he can smell like him. Okay? It was incredibly effective. It was very tongue-in-cheek. It was very funny. And it was all about kind of, you know, this is what a man should smell like, you know, and women, you know, we're going to give you that amazing smell. Let's take a moment and write down the senses. V-A-K-O-G. We're going to talk today mostly about visual, auditory, kinesthetic, which is feeling, and emotion. Emotion counts here. Olfactory, that's smell, and gustatory, that's taste. If you were a bunch of food, perfume, coffee folks, you know, we would be talking about O and G's a lot. But I think this is going to be good enough for the limited time we have today. So, these guys did such a good job making it so fun and so tongue-in-cheek that in a 48-hour period of time, they had 11 million people watch their videos. 11 million in 48 hours. They had 58,000 new followers on Twitter, okay? I urge you to go up there. This is one of our clients, Procter & Gamble. I urge you to go up there and check out the Old Spice campaigns. They are brilliant if you're doing anything and if you're selling to women. Hyundai, $4,000 cars. They very quickly kind of tanked their reputation because the cars didn't work very well. What they ended up doing was saying, hey, wow, we messed up. Let's stop everything. Let's fix the product, then let's fix the reputation. They chose to not put lipstick on a pig, okay? You can put lipstick on a pig, but you really shouldn't, right? So what they did was they changed the whole experience, and what did we get here? When you see shoddy cars that don't work, and you see the manufacturer saying, you know what, we're gonna change all this, we're gonna turn this around, what then do you experience? Safety, belonging, mattering. What do you think? Safety, belonging, or mattering? Yes, mattering. You matter enough that we're not going to make a buck. We're actually going to stop everything, turn it around, and go. Mattering is also what Old Spice focused on with the female audience. Good. Okay, here's why I'm going to urge you to use the tools that you learned today, because they're just good for business. Okay, the numbers work out. We get more productivity from our people, higher demand gen, closing more sales. So what we call thinking is really a combination of visuals, pictures, auditory, sounds, and kinesthetic feelings that go by at light speed. Take a moment, close your eyes, take a moment and close your eyes, and call up a recent good experience. It could have been just walking in here, or it could have been at the break. Call up a recent experience that felt really good. What are the pictures? What are the sounds? What are the feelings? It's the V's, the visuals, the A's, the auditories, and the kinesthetic, the feelings, that form the beliefs. I'll tell you what happened for me this morning. I came in here, I walked in, I immediately saw Kara, one of the assistants. I saw her and I remembered the last time I was here at Camp Quad and the fun we had and the photo that we took and put on social. And so I saw her face, visual, okay? I heard the sound of the clanking dinner, okay? I heard also internally I heard, ah, I'm gonna have so much fun today. So the audio tracks can be what you say to yourself as well. The visuals are pictures inside your head that you also get from outside. The audio tracks can be stuff you say to yourself, oh, I'm gonna have so much fun today. Oh, these people are so awesome. Or you hear music or clanking dishes, okay, inside, outside. And the feeling was, ah, I feel so good, I'm so happy to be here. Ah, so from the V's, A's, and K's, we get beliefs. We get beliefs about the world outside of us, this is gonna be so fun, and about ourselves, I'm gonna have so much fun today. Okay, stay with me, I know that this is kind of new stuff, so we're gonna keep letting this sink in. So everybody knows what this sounds like, right? When you see this clock, do you know what this type of alarm clock sounds like? Good. So you just saw a picture which called up an audio track. Got that? Okay, good. What feeling? What's your feeling associated with an alarm? Shout it out. Tony, what's your feeling associated with your alarm in the morning?
Time to go.
Time to go. What's your feeling associated with the alarm in the morning? Oh, snooze. Yeah. Snooze, snooze, and snooze. What's your feeling associated with the alarm in the morning?
It was going to be snooze as well.
Snooze, snooze. What's your feeling associated with the alarm in the morning?
Not good.
Not good.
Coffee.
Coffee.
Dread. Waking up.
Dread. Waking up.
Work.
Work. Thank you. Okay. Look at all these feelings we have associated with this particular visual and auditory. Okay? So we've got our associations. And then anchors. What does that picture mean to your brain? What does clock mean to your brain? Sorry?
On time.
On time.
Staying on schedule.
Staying on schedule. Thank you. What does clock mean to your brain? What does clock mean to your brain?
On time.
On time? What does clock mean to your brain?
Stress.
Stress. What does computer mean to your brain? When you see a computer, what does it mean to your brain?
Productivity.
Productivity. What does computer mean to your brain?
Work.
Work. Computer means to my brain work. On the weekend, I don't want to be in the computer. I don't want to watch YouTube videos unless they're on a big, huge TV in the living room where we have playtime. Yeah. To me, like, I'm not a millennial. They're like totally emotionally neutral or positive around their computer. To me, computer equals work. That's an anchor. Everybody, all of us, had an anchor as a little kid, a safety blanket, a favorite animal. That anchor meant safety. I want you to start to think about the anchors that you are setting in your advertising and in your leadership, etc. Because we can use anchors for something positive. We can take an anchor that wasn't working before. When we do change work, executive coaching, we'll actually anchor a positive behavior that we want to create to cause that behavioral change. Let me mention one quick thing. The human brain will always go to the feeling that is the best feeling. If you want to change somebody's behavior, you need to make whatever they're doing, the new behavior, feel better. The human brain will always choose the best K, the best feeling, even if there aren't any good choices. It will pick the least bad choice. So if you want somebody to do something different, you need to cause it to feel better than their default behavior. Exercise has to feel better than not exercising. The way that we do that is by adding identity and other layers on top of it. You could either say exercising means let's go exercise at the gym, or you can say, I want to be in better shape for my family. I want to last longer. I want to feel better for my kids. Thus, I'm the type of person, identity, you know, who will go to the gym and meet all sorts of cool new people in this happy world called where people get fit, belief, okay? I will see their smiling faces. Visual. I will hear the sounds of people panting or whatever, you know, gym sounds, rock and roll music. And I will then feel proud of myself for going to the gym. You layer all that stuff up, you're going to get behavior change that lasts. All right. So let's talk about making meaning. After World War II, a company rolled out cake making through a rice cooker in Japan. They said, everyone's got a rice cooker. We want them to make cakes. We figured out how to make cakes in a rice cooker, which is non-trivial, with no lingering chocolate or whatever flavor. You're just going to be able to make a cake in your rice cooker. It didn't work. The cakes were great. The women loved them. Okay, the homemakers wanted to make cakes in their rice cooker, but they couldn't because it was disrespectful in their culture to cook anything in a rice cooker besides rice. That's an association. What associations do you need to shift or accommodate? What associations do you need to accommodate? Okay? So when you're taking a global sales force and they have been not having the results that you want, and you want them to increase their results within one quarter by 20%, you have to make that feel really good. If you bring positive pictures and you anchor those with something that they're going to have on their desk or wear on their body or walk around with in their world, this is why a lot of companies, if they're doing a contest, they'll make a cell phone cover that they want everybody to use. You're going to see your cell phone all the time. We create a physical world anchor that causes people to remember the good feelings and the cool visuals and the cool audio tracks about achieving that goal. The ventral striatum then lights up and we feel great. This is how we got Ariba, to their whole sales force, to increase their productivity 20% in the first quarter. All right, now let's do a quick free form association with these brands. We'll go through each one at a time. AAA, and I know we have some AAA folks in the audience. What emotional associations do you have with this brand? What does AAA mean to you? Shout it out.
Safety.
Safety, yeah, me too. AAA, safety, yay. Okay.
Reliable.
Good. Anything else? Good? Safety, reliable? Now, what pictures and sounds do you get when you load up AAA? I see myself on the Golden Gate Bridge at night when my car broke down. Yeah. After I called the salesman saying, come and fix it before I get killed, I called AAA. You know, yeah, they came there in record time. Obviously, I didn't get smushed because I'm here. Yay. Thank you, AAA. What pictures, notice what pictures, slow your response down. Safety, reliable, what pictures did you get from AAA when you thought, when you saw that logo? What pictures?
Yeah, triptychs.
I got roadside assistance. Good. Okay, it doesn't matter. We all got good ones. How about audio tracks? Sounds. What sounds did you get? What sounds did you get around AAA? What's the sound? What sounds load up in your mind?
Battery, car starting.
Yeah, okay. Car starting sounds. Any other sounds loaded up for you? Okay, feelings. Feelings. We got safety, we got reliability. What feelings? What beliefs? What beliefs? For me, I have that AAA card and I go, no matter what happens, AAA is going to show up. It can't be that bad, even if it's in some weird random location. Okay, let's do one more. Apple. Apple. What associations do you have with Apple?
iPad.
Cool.
Innovation.
Safety, belonging, or mattering? Safety, belonging, or mattering? Belonging? Anything else? Mattering? Yeah. Mattering for you? Belonging for others. Good. Belonging, mattering. Yay. What pictures? Pictures. What pictures load up when you think of Apple?
Design.
Steve Jobs?
Yeah, sure.
Not so much? Okay. People standing on stages? Okay. All the different things that they make? Okay, good. And what does it make you think about yourself? Apple. Apple consumers in the room? What do you believe about yourself by consuming Apple products?
You're creative?
You're what? Smarter. Thank you. Very aspirational. Lots of identity around this. Okay, good. Lexus, we're going to skip that one just because there's a lot to go over. Okay. All right, so beliefs. Beliefs are decisions. Beliefs are decisions. The visual, auditory, kinesthetic cues that go by at light speed help us form our beliefs about the world, our beliefs about ourselves, which is identity, and then also drive then our behavior. Okay, so for example, if a child lives in a dangerous home, they might form the belief, I'm safer when I'm invisible. Okay, that's a belief about self and identity. They might go through their life being kind of invisible because we're all coded between 0 and 7, right? We're coded between 0 and 7. We're making decisions about the world constantly, okay? A certain person in my life is very driven by safety, okay? And I told her, I'm going to Wisconsin. Oh, Wisconsin! Something bad could happen there. I'm like, Mom, okay, within, we're under the cone of silence. Mom, it's Wisconsin, okay? The people are very nice there. I'll be fine, okay? So think about what drives your behavior and what decisions you make about the world, right? The decisions that we make about ourselves or identity, what products give you what experience? What's one of your favorite products? What's one of your favorite products, Steve?
iPad?
What experience does it give you?
Information when I want it.
This little iPad is going to give me information when I want it. So then what experience does that give of yourself? What's your identity around that?
I become knowledgeable.
I am knowledgeable. I'm the kind of guy who can have information that I need right there at my fingertips, as Bill Gates would say. Yes, good. Now, sometimes we have contradictory messaging. Just a second, go with me down the path for a second. So what if we have the messaging of, I'm a competent person, I want the best, I have the wherewithal to buy a high-end car. But then we also have a belief of cars break down all the time. Cars are a pain in the butt. So we buy that high-end amazing car, and guess what? It breaks down all the time. Okay? So start to kind of think later on today, etc., what contradictory beliefs you have. Because sometimes, if our clients have contradictory beliefs, we can help them resolve those with our products. I will get to that in just a couple of minutes. Okay, we're just dropping in ideas and then we're gonna bring them home. Please tell me, for the first, pick a telephone image that sparks an emotional response. Which telephone gives you an emotional response?
Top one.
Top one. What emotional response do you get? What are the V's, A's, and K's? Who said top one?
I did.
Okay, good. What are you getting from that?
Oh, fun.
Fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, are you seeing any pictures? Any videos coming up? Any picture tracks?
Playing with
your brothers. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. And then what beliefs about the world, about your brothers?
It's all good.
It's all good. This cute little smiley telephone brings her, it's all good. And she's getting really good physiological cues. Her face is lighting up. Her eyes are getting big. She's like, dopamine and oxytocin are flooding her system. She's loving it. Okay, good. Let's take another person. Yes, Tom.
The top one.
The top one. What's happening for you there?
Childhood, happy times.
Childhood, happy times. Yeah, good. Which one for you?
Bottom one.
What do you get?
Connection.
Connection. Beliefs about self at all? I'm available. People want to call me. I'm loved. Okay. She's like, she's loading it up a little bit more slowly. Okay. she's a little more kinesthetic where it's going to take a little bit longer to load. Good. Good. So let's think about how we get these cues and how they move forward. So we're now going to take a sec, take your cute little worksheet, and we're going to do a lab. Take your groovy worksheet, or do it in your binder, but sooner or later you're going to want to combine everything on this one sheet so you have your little takeaway. What emotional association do people have with your brand? What emotional experience do you give people with your brand? What memories might fire off V's, A's, and K's? What stories might they tell themselves when they interact with your brands? And if you have like a million brands, just pick one of them, okay? Take a moment and just work on the branding stuff. And you can do this either in your worksheet. What page are we on the worksheet?
20.
Thank you. You can either do this in 20 if you want lots of room, or you can start to fill out the very beginning, the first part of this worksheet, whatever you prefer. Depends on how much space you need. So let's take just a few minutes to fill this out. And then we're going to turn to our buddy. As soon as you and your buddy are done, and just pick somebody near you, turn to them and share. And tell them about your brand a little bit and tell them what your experience is. You might want to see what the experience is for them if they know your brand. What about your brand? Emotional association. What emotional associations How are you communicating with the 90%? With the 90% of the brain that drives and dominates our behavior? How do they feel? What stories are people telling themselves and others about your brand? Take a couple more minutes. You don't have to fill in the whole worksheet. You don't know about meta programs yet. We don't have safety belonging monitoring done yet at a deep level. You don't have to do the whole, all you gorgeous type A'ers, you don't have to fill the whole worksheet. Okay. All right, let's stop. Turn to somebody next to you. Share your answers. Tell them about your brand and then swap. We're just going to take about 2 minutes each. And you can be in a pod of three if you would like, or share with a bunch of people. Share with Eric. Okay, when they're done, you can share with those guys too.
I'm happy.
Okay, it's gonna be good though. It all, good. When you think of quad, you think of presses rolling. But also, remember, it also can be internal stuff, what you say about yourself. You walk in the door, I see Kara's face, and I go, yay, inside.
Right.
Okay?
I love that smell of the ink.
Smell of the ink. Olfactory. Yes.
First time family. And we really want them to get the connection that they can do it and have a satisfaction in the job.
Well, I can do it.
And instead of seeing the project, I'm True Value Hardware, they see the baby's room completely fine. Okay. Or they see
good visual.
Sipping the cold beer on the patio.
With the celebration. Yep. Good. I'm going to call on you. You're getting some good ones. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I want to clap while growing.
Brent's story is,
you know, I could do that too.
I can do that too.